Well, we're going back over this morning. We're looking at this a covenant, a blessing, and it really is. This thing's with Abraham. We're still on the things of Abraham. There's a lot to do with this. It's paying attention to this, especially we're dealing with Father's Day. Abraham was a father, and we're dealing with a God who's a father. And we can see a lot, like Mike said, and brought up again, because God is in this thing building a man. We need to understand this. God got to bring this man to this place where he's going to ask him to do something that is absolutely phenomenal to do. God don't just throw this out to people. You know, there's things that you need to understand about. I don't care how much vision you got in your life. You have to come to a place where you're able to carry that out. You got to come to a place, God will build you to fulfill the vision. But you don't get there overnight. You don't get there to that place. And so we need to understand this. We can see this in Abraham. We can see how God dealt with a man. And very patiently, it's amazing, you take time that God did. You know, we're looking here, Abraham, last week, we got 24 years in the land. And the things God has been dealing with him, building him to a place where Abraham can trust him. You need to understand this, you cannot trust anybody better than you know them. So over time, God reveals himself to us, so we learn to know him, and we can trust him more.
Amen.
It's the way it operates. See, some people sometimes ministers can leave the idea that you just ought to trust God and everything. There's a lot of things in the Word that I know that are true, but I can't walk in it yet. You know, I can see that. I can get parts of things, but I can't reach to the further end of this thing. You know, it's like we know it says, but all things are possible to him that believeth. I ain't met one person yet in Christianity can walk in the fullness of that. I haven't met one. Why? Because everybody's growing. I know it's a true statement. All things are possible. But I don't know everything yet, so there's things that are impossible to me because I don't know them yet. But when I get to a point, so understand, those things are true and we're developing. You need to be this very careful that I did when I was a young Christian. I became critical of myself when I looked at what others who could walk in things, and I couldn't, and I was thinking, what's wrong with me? There was nothing wrong with me. There wasn't a thing wrong with me. And you have to know this about yourself. Do you know where you are? Do you know where you walk? Do you understand that? If you don't know those things, these things will hamper development spiritually. You got to learn to know yourself. I learned to know myself over time of where I am, what I can do, what I can't, what I need to know and learn. See, this is one thing. You have to know what you need to know and learn. You know, you might follow after you. You know, when I came in the kingdom, there was all these people, Christians following after end time stuff, because everybody's pretty, we're just leaving, we're getting out of here, but we're going, this is the move of God, and we're leaving. And man, a lot of them didn't develop in a lot of things that they needed badly. They didn't develop in them. And it really hurt them. It hurt them in their Christian walk. So you don't pick the things that you like. Ask God what you need to know. Find out about yourself. There's things in yourself that you need to know and you need to understand. There's things in fundamentals. If you like to go on and fundamentals are boring to you, I will tell you how you can know this. It's because you don't know them well.
Come on.
Because fundamentals, I still love them as much as when I first learned them.
Amen.
And I can go back over them again and I can enjoy them. So, if you get to a place where you think you know and you need to go on to something else, sometimes we go on to other things, but you don't ever leave the foundation. That foundation, you always keep that good. In a house, you let a foundation go and a house is going to go. You're going to have a lot of problems with that home. And you need to know it. Just in natural, it will. Well, spiritually, it happens too. Well, we're going to go over to Genesis, the 18th chapter. We looked at last week as God came to Abraham and told him and told him about having a child. This time he turned around, though, and gave him a covenant name. We also, he heard for the first time that Sarah is going to bear a child, is going to have a son. It's the first time that he heard that. But God gave him the seal of this covenant. He changed his name from Abram to Abraham, and Sarah, he gave her the name Sarah. So they both have a covenant name. They both got names from God. God specifically did name them. And so then they turn around, and the seal of the covenant, or the sign of the covenant, was circumcision of the male. And so and the reason for that is dealing with the male who's the seed. So what it represented, the removal of this, the flesh was a sign. That's what the sign of the covenant. We have, in our covenant, we have a circumcision, but it's not made with hand. We have the removal of the flesh. See, when Adam sinned, the flesh took over. man then became dominated by their flesh. And so this was a sign of removal from the flesh from the seed. Because after Adam sinned, all the seed was dominated by the flesh. So understand this about yourself being dominated by, you were dominated by the flesh. You don't have to be anymore. Because now you have the circumcision which is not made with hand, which gives you the ability to overcome the flesh. So, you walk in the light. You're no longer under the seed of the flesh anymore. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're under the seed of God. And so what's what all this stuff meant was about. And so since the male carried the seed, the male was the one. And I mean, if you go back over things, and this thing that I think the Lord's done more talking to me about going into with this teaching than a lot of stuff that I've studied and learned over time is showing me things concerning this, because we need to get the picture that really this covenant was a type and shadow looking forward to the fulfillment of our covenant. When you study these things, you're not studying the law. See, people say, well, that's under the law. Not this. This isn't under the law. This covenant is a covenant like our covenant, a covenant of promise. It's really the foundation of what our covenant came out of. If it's not, then Abraham is not the father of our faith. Moses is not. I'll tell you, the church has went more for Moses than it did for Abraham. The church has had more legalism. And they don't see themselves sometimes as legalists. But they're things that they do. They're, you know, are little, you know, things that you can do this and do this. You're going to be okay and that okay. But it really doesn't have much to do with faith and growing up spiritually. It's more legalism. And so we take this man. Here God's working with. Now we want to see. Now he told him that, and if we back in chapter 17, God said that when he was going to come back next, he said he would visit him next year. They said at this time when Sarah was going to have a child, so it'd be a year later. So we know, well, having a child, you know, she'd get pregnant, have 9 months, it would take place. Well, we go to 18. He comes really to them. This is right after that. God comes again, except this time, he's just not speaking something to Abraham. We see, and we want to look at this about God showing up. I want you to go to Genesis 18. Verse 1 says this, then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth tree of Mamre as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. Now, I want you to see this because this, the word Lord there in Hebrew is the word Jehovah. Jehovah appeared to him. So we need to understand this. This is not a vision going on. This is, Brother Hagin talked about an open vision. He said he had an open vision of Jesus. And he said Jesus walked into he was in a bed in a hospital. And he said the door opened up and he said Jesus walked in. And he said he took a chair from over the side of the room, slid it over beside his bed and set it down. He said, I couldn't say a word. He said, I was just dumb. He said, I just sat there in shock. He said, I don't know what to do. You know? And so there's a manifestation here. And he said, Jesus sat down and talked to him for over an hour. Sat there at the bed and talked with him for over an hour. You know, Jesus didn't wear long robes like they show it. He said, Jesus walked in. He said he had a thing on. He said he could see his hairy legs out the bottom. Gee, he wasn't shaved. What's with this guy? We ain't got the pictures, you know. These people say we got the pictures of Jesus. They don't. These are our images and our likenesses of these things. That's the only thing he ever talked about concerning Jesus where he said, and he said they had on a pair like a Roman sandals. He said that's what he was wearing. He said, I looked, because he said that's the first thing I noticed when he walked in the room. He said, I looked down. He said, I saw him come through the door. And he said, I saw these hairy legs and these Roman sandals. But see, people get ideas, and then we do our little religious stuff and put our pictures on the walls and we do them in the church and all this stuff. And that's Jesus. So, anyhow, getting out of our thinking. So he appeared to him, and it says, speaking of Abraham, so he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, bowed down himself to the ground and said, "My Lord," he said, "if I have not found favor in your sight," he said, "if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant." So now this word Lord here that he used is the word Adonai, which is a word that is used as a proper name for God, is used in that. Now he used that term, and now he speaks to him. Now understand this. We know this from this standpoint. It was God has appeared to him before. Now we don't know how it was in an open vision like this, or he just appeared to him in a vision. There's vision. I've never had an open vision. I've had visions already, but not like an open vision, like you would be, like as right now we're standing here in this place and say Jesus would manifest himself right here in front of all of us. That'd be an open vision. We'd all be just the natural. I've done, had visions and stuff while praying, eyes closed and things, and had visions and stuff already. The things that go on in your spirit, they happen to you. They're not something in your mind or something. It's, you have them on the inside of you. It's in your spirit. You're picking up things in your spirit. You have visions. So I've had that. But this didn't seem strange to him. He knew him. He knew him. Now you understand this. Why does God do some things like this? Why did he do it for Abraham? Now understand this. Abraham's not born again. He's not a born again man. God is working with this man to get him to do something that must be done for God to carry out the promise of this covenant to bring it to fulfillment. This is one thing, as I learned as a young Christian from Kenneth Hagin, which I'm really glad that I found out. Lots of times God does things supernatural to reveal things to people is for this purpose. Because it's not that they're so... One of the great problems, people act like they have these things happen because they're so spiritual. Lots of times that's not the case. See, and when people listen to people tell stories, they think, oh man, they're really spiritual. Sometimes it's because God called a person to do something. He manifests himself to give you a revelation. Like I'll never forget when Kenneth Hagin, I first heard him when I got saved, and Kenneth Hagin said to, he said, if you're called to the ministry, he said, you don't go on an inward witness. He said, you make sure God has talked to you and told you, and you know for sure that you're called to it. Because he said, when you go, I'll guarantee you stuff's going to start happening to you that you're going to not want to do it. Believe me, I'm telling you, amen, for sure. Don't think you know what it's like if you haven't been called to it, to do it. I'm just telling you. You know what you're going to do? I'm going to tell you what, I had wonderful opportunities to want to quit. Wonderful opportunities to go do something else. But the thing that holds you there, you go through things, you learn to stand. Because I'm just going to tell you, the devil, if God's called you to something, to do something, that stuff, and especially when they're done and influencing other people, the devil's going to want to try to stop that. Amen. It's like the Apostle Paul. He had a demonic spirit was given specifically to keep him, to try to get him to quit. To stop him. Why? He was given revelation. The devil wants to stop revelation. You know why so many Christians don't have the devil bug them a lot? They ain't got nothing for him to bug about, you know. I'm just serious. They don't have enough revelation in their life for the devil to bug them, because they ain't got enough to give anybody for the devil to bug them. But I'll tell you, God reveals himself to you. Don't be surprised. There's nothing wrong with you. Some, when I first came in the kingdom, sometimes some ministers act like they would sort of preach, you know, that if you really had faith, you weren't going to get in trouble. I found out the more faith I got in, the more trouble I got. It seemed the devil wanted to do things to me. This stuff started to happen. And so you have to find that out about yourself. No. And people don't realize that. Do you ever notice in a naturalist like that? You know, you'd think everybody would be excited, like a guy like Elon Musk, all that he's ever accomplished and do and has done. They'd be excited. People fuss about him and mad at him all the time because he got money about this stuff. And people are ridiculous and stupid. Christians are as dumb as a stick. Knock about the guy. Dear Lord. You know, I found out, if you get over in anything and you start toward succeeding, I'm going to tell you what, you'll have more people turn against you. Because they wanted you to be a loser like them. Amen. So I just learned about this. You know, it's one of the things that that I've always taken pleasure in is receiving revelation from God. That God will reveal things to you. But understand this. God reveals things. Now, there's things that God will reveal to me to teach and to minister because of the office, not because of what I am individually as a person. It's because of my calling. It's the anointing on my life will cause things to reveal. So he'll reveal things. But, you know, it's one thing. You got to take those things and then you teach them. In other words, they're not, I learn from them. Like, I learn from this, but it is for the people. It's not just for me. You have to understand it. See, most of your teaching, you sit down and study the Bible. Most of the time, it's God's teaching you. Well, God teaches me to teach other people. He gives me things other people need. They need to know to be taught. If you're not standing in front of people teaching it, you know, you're not going to, you know, generally he's not going to have you. You're not, it's for you to know. So there are things that the Lord gives me revelations on that are for me to know. They're things for me. But there's things that he turns around and he's teaching. Like when he took me over this, there's things he wanted to show me. You've got to teach this. You've got to go over into it. He told me to teach it. Well, my words, when I got into it, I didn't know near what I know now when I got teaching it. So more gets revealed. So God wants to teach us. Then just think about it. Now I want you to see about this. Abraham goes in speaking. Now, is God appearing to him? He says in verse 4, please let a little water be brought. Wash your feet. He said, rest yourself under the tree, and I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by inasmuch as you have come to your servant. They said, do as you have said. So it says, so Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and young calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So it says he took butter and milk and the calf, which he had prepared, and set it before them, and he took them under the tree as they ate. Now I want you to get this picture. God shows up. Here, this is Jehovah, shows up. He's manifested in the form of a man. I mean, we know that he's a, so in other words, and in fact that he's in the form of a man from the standpoint, he's going to eat. Now, understand, this form that he's in, it's not a human being. It looks everything like one. He can eat and do things. But understand, this is Jehovah. And he's come in this form. Now, we're going to find out the 2 others with him. We're going to find out, you find out in the next chapter, they're angels. These are 2 angels that are with him. Bible tells us. So he comes, he can sit down. So understand this about Abraham. The Lord has appeared to him so many times and that stuff, and it's so real to him that, you know, he deals with him like he's a person. This is amazing. You know, when I sat down and looked at it, I thought, do you know, I never hear anybody talk about this, but I said, this is an amazing thing. That how this man, and his coming along with the Lord and dealing with the Lord. Now, you will notice this here. Did you notice that he's called Jehovah? He's not called Melchizedek. You see, if Melchizedek was a manifestation of Jesus Christ in the earth, this he would have thought it was Melchizedek because he ran into Melchizedek. It's not. You see, that's why you want to study the Word. You get ideas about things, and people get over on the Melchizedek thing, and they don't read the rest of the story. Read the rest of the story, and you'll find out. Melchizedek was a man. He was a priest. And then another thing, Jesus never became a priest till after he was raised from the dead. That's when he became a high priest. So he wasn't a priest up to this time. This isn't Melchizedek. Now, this is a manifestation. Now, people say, well, is this a manifestation? How is it? Was it of Jesus and that? I don't know. It wasn't there, but could be, possibly. You know, we don't. It isn't a matter, but we know this. This is God, a manifestation that God has and presented himself in a form concerning a man and dealing with him in his faith. The most important thing about this is not getting into the technical things, because if you do, you'll get into great error. Just take what the Bible says and that's it on the subject. Don't add to nor take away from. What we want to know is the revelation, what God is going to give, because the revelation is what's important. The revelation. That's one thing that's on earth. Kenneth Hagin, that the only time he ever talked anything about Jesus looked like was about the hairy legs. And he talked about one time looking into Jesus' eyes and he had been disobedient. And he said Jesus, it was like lightning shot out of his eyes. Then he said another time, he says Jesus' eyes were like a pool of love. So he's not always cute to you, but he is sometimes. Sometimes he might get on your case. Hallelujah. So, just like a daddy has to do sometimes to his kids, you know. So sometimes my dad was very nice and sometimes lightning shot out of his eyes. You just want to make sure you were at a distance when that happened. Hallelujah. But we see this here. So this is a manifestation. This is really unique to me because as Abraham is dealing with him, so Abraham, this form has appeared to him. He either saw it in vision form or actually showed up and he saw it. Has happened to him a number of times. He's very comfortable with this. And how he deals with this is what we want to look at. We go to verse 9 and it says, and they said to him, where is Sarah your wife? And he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. According to the sign of life, what are you talking about? Concerning her birth, having his child in a birth. This, I'm going to return to you. So in other words, I don't know if this was a month later after his last visit. And so we're looking at, you know, remember, you know, 11 months later, or maybe it's 2 months later, or whatever it is. At this point of time, we know this, that she's not conceived a child yet. It's not happened. She hasn't conceived it. We're not talking about birth, conceiving it. In other words, she hasn't gotten pregnant. That has not happened. So, he said, you're going to turn again. He says, now Abraham and Sarah were old and were advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. In other words, she was no longer having a menstrual cycle. She wasn't producing any eggs, so she's not. Isn't it interesting? This is one thing the Lord showed me. See, God is going to do something miraculous here. He waited till it was impossible for her to have children. Why? What's he doing this for? He's building this guy to trust him. You know what we'd have done? Oh, give him a kid when he came out of the land, because they're going to need this kid. You need to understand, sometimes God will sit in a situation and wait. So you have no natural hope of anything happening. Mm-hmm. Now this is called faith and patience. Amen. That patience thing, that's where people run out. They don't have that. They've never built themselves. Because sometimes God wants you to get to the point, because He wants to take you to another level of faith. Amen. And He can't do that without doing something. I got to do something more miraculous than what you want. See, we get looking at things in certain ways, and sometimes God will sit here just like with them. I'm going to let this thing go with Sarah till, because what happens? What if she'd got pregnant beforehand? God said, well, she got pregnant. Well, you know, maybe she just got pregnant. You know, maybe it just, no, she's at the point. She's not producing any eggs. And Abraham, he thinks he's shooting blanks, so he don't know. He don't know. They don't know. God brings them to this point, which is good. Amen. If you understand where God's going to take this man, well, He has to take him too. See, how far do you want to go in faith? Amen. If you want everything to come easy, you're not going to go far in faith.
Right.
You're not going to go far. It's not what it is. You know, I always think about, you know, they take like, you know, the Navy SEALs and these different groups. You know, they take these Navy SEAL guys and they take them down in the water. Go through the training. They take them down in the water in the wintertime. The real time you really like to go in the water. And they got to go out there and stand in the water, and they got to stand there. If you don't go for a certain amount of time, you can't stand there. You're out. Let me just say this. There's a lot of us were hauled into the water, and we got chucked out. We got to learn to bear things.
Amen.
You got to learn to bear. Yeah, I'm just telling you, you're just going to have to learn to bear things sometimes. And so, we're walking, we're in this life of faith. Well, when Sarah's down here, Abraham talks, he makes a statement, it says, therefore, he said, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure Shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? So it says, and the Lord, again, this is the word Jehovah said to Abraham. Why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? There again, Jehovah. At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. It says, but Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Now, I want you to see this. This is the, we don't know up till this time that the Lord had ever appeared to Sarah. We don't know. Don't tell us. Even when Abraham said to her, this is the first time she hears it from the Lord. She hears this. She's going to have a child. And she said, she laughed. She didn't laugh out loud. It said she laughed within herself. She didn't laugh out loud. But God knew it. He's not rebuking her about the laugh. Understand this. He knows this is the first time she's heard it from him. See, we got to understand. See, God's dealing with us. Why? God wants to get her. God gave her this name. Now, can you imagine when Abraham told her what her name was going to be now? And she hadn't heard God. She hadn't heard God tell her. She's just taking it from what her husband said. God told her. She's been walking along. You talk about a wife, you know, in submission to a man. She's in submission to a man. He's walking according to doing what God told him to do. Just and God, we don't have any account, God, up till this time that God's appeared to her or said anything. We don't have it. Now, we do read a lot into it. We've made up our own stories. We have our own beliefs. But I want you to understand it. So here she is, you know. And people say, well, now, she was in unbelief. It's a terrible thing. Hold it. The people that read these stories and teach them lots of time have more unbelief than she got. They've made up more stories in a little bit. See, Abraham has been talked to. Abraham is the one that's going to have to carry out the fulfillment of what God's want, not Sarah. Now, God wants her in faith, wants her believing. So the Lord told her, and it said to her, she was afraid. Well, can you imagine that, you know, God coming along and this guy shows up and he shows up in the natural and there she is in a tent and her husband is running out there bowing down to this guy. And she's like, oh, my God, what just came here? Can you imagine it? Can you imagine that? You know, it's like, huh. So the fact that she was afraid to admit that she laughed, well, you might have done the same thing. So what we have here is God's going to do something. The reason God came to Abraham, the Lord told me, is not specifically for this. Now, he used this and just speaking to Sarah. He just came and reconfirmed to them what he's going to do. The reason he came to them is Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the real reason he came. This stuff was just a confirmation of what's going on. He's going to deal with something. This story deals with about spiritual authority. It's what it deals with. It's a story on spiritual authority. And there's a revelation for us to understand about this spiritual authority. Because we see the power of this covenant. No man has had a covenant like this with God before. And then we're in the fulfillment of this covenant where it's in its fullness. We stand in a greater position and a place than he did. But I'm just going to tell you this. Most Christians don't even walk in this much authority. They don't walk in this place. It isn't that we can't. One of the things that I can see, I've said to the Lord, I said, you know, we've been really shallow in our understanding. Now, me too. I mean, I said, I look at these things down here and I said, well, I said, you know, isn't that anybody else knew about this stuff? They surely could, but I've never heard anybody teach a lot of these things, or ever talk about them. Just, you know, these were just stories that people just quick read through. And then made a few statements and went on to the thing, you know, and did stuff. Where I've been sitting down with this thing, and I'm going to tell you, since I started this thing, every day the Lord speaks to me about this stuff. Every day. Every day he says things to me about this stuff. He'll bring these things to me and say things to me about this thing. And I'm thinking, my God, this is an incredible story. This is a phenomenal story. It's a phenomenal thing what God has done. And God, there's so much. But the Word is just so full of revelation. It amazes me all that's packed into these things. And my God, how did the Holy Spirit can take a few chapters and just bring so much revelation out of it. It's like, if you wrote it down, it's like, books and books and books. It's just like, I can see, you know, from when John said about Jesus, all he did and said would be written down. I just imagine from all he said, I can't imagine the revelation that probably came out of him that could actually been put in the books. It was like, oh my God, golly. And so we're on this receiving end. So now the Lord, we find here, and here's really an interesting thing, because God made a covenant, a man. Lots of times we deal with covenant in what I call a one-way street. It's sort of like, you know, from God to us. And so most people only ever, the average Christian only ever deals with God with asking God for something to get something, and knows nothing about God dealing the opposite way as us toward Him. How this operates. I found out a little bit about it when I first got saved in some things where the Lord asked me, and I've talked about this already, had a couple instances come up where I was praying and asking the Lord about a certain thing and a person and a problem thing. And the Lord said to me, what do you want me to do? First time that happened, stunned me. I just, what? What do you want me to do? And because, you know, at that time, I had nobody ever talk like that to him, you know, say that kind of thing. What do you want me to do? Well, I stopped. It just sort of astounded me because then now you understand this. You can only talk to him on the revelation and knowledge that you have. Oh, you can blab on us about some other stuff. But at least you'd want to talk to God. See, you know, when you get over there, get into spirit and stuff, let me just say about this. You're going to find out, you find out this, whatever you have in your head that you think you know or think, that stuff ain't operating when that goes on. What's in your mind ain't what you're thinking about. It's what's in your heart. It's what's on the inside. Those are the things. You know, I've wondered about that until I heard Kenneth Hagin talk about, which he had a lot more experiences than I have. And he said, you know, there's lots of things I used to think I wanted to ask the Lord, but he said, I'd get in a vision, Jesus would appear, and he said, I'd never even think about that. He said, there were some things in my mind. He said, what I talked to him was about was in my heart. See, this is a spiritual experience. Most Christians operate with God mostly from their mind and not from their heart. Not criticizing anybody. But you got to learn from your heart. Because see, faith of the heart, it's not the head. You can believe something in your head and you can't get it to perform or do a darn thing. It's what's in your heart's going to manifest. What you can say out of your heart. You know, a person can be deaf and dumb, get filled with the Holy Ghost, can talk in tongues and can't talk. Why? Out English or any other language. You know why? Because that's from their mind. It's not from their heart. See, tongues is out of your spirit. It's not out of your head. People don't realize this stuff. This stuff happens with people. People can't speak a word, but they get over in tongues and speak in tongues. Speak in tongues just as clearly, but can't say. See, you can have a person can get brain damage. See, your mind operates through your brain. Your spirit don't. See, your spirit can get your body to do something. See, we don't know as much about the spirit realm as we'd like to think. We got a lot to learn. There's a lot of things in these areas that we could learn about. And so in 18, verse 16, it says, then the men rose from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them off on their way. And the Lord, which again is Jehovah, said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed through him. I want you to get this. All the nations of the earth will be blessed. Everybody always puts all of that off to when Jesus Christ died and cross rose from the dead. I'm going to tell you what. This earth, the Lord showed me, this earth was blessed from Abraham's obedience through. This covenant allowed God to do things into the earth, or this would have happened. The earth would have turned into again just like it was before and had been destroyed all over again. God's wisdom and what He does is so outside of us and our minds. Our God is so smart, is so incredible as to know and what to do. This covenant that He made with this man was powerful. Man, what does that make? We got the fulfillment of this thing. My God, we're walking around here with an atomic bomb. I'm going to tell you what. We need to come to the wisdom to set it off.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, anyhow. So He says, for I have known Him in order that He may command His children and His household after Him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord, or that Jehovah, may bring to Abraham what He has spoken to him. Let me say this to you. And fathers, you see what He said? See, if He's going to bring this covenant to a fulfillment, Abraham's going to have to fulfill it. So, and concerning his descent, to bring them upright. Do you hear that? I don't care what. See, many people, I've learned this over time. A lot of people spent more time praying about their kids than I ever did. Because I know this. If you ain't doing the right thing, you can pray night and day. Praying don't matter. You got to get in this thing that doing. What He said, He's going to bring them up. He said, well, He's just going to pray for them a lot. And then He'll pray for them a lot. No, you bring them up. You bring them up. And the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. This is what you do.
Amen.
You train your children. He said He'd train them. He didn't say tell them.
Amen.
If you ain't made them do it, you never trained them.
Come on.
You never trained them.
Come on.
I went in the military and I went through training. And I'll tell you what, they didn't talk as much as they made me do. They made me do a lot more. They could just say one word. We did 10 things. Whether you understand it or not, your children should never be your best friends.
Preach.
Never.
Preach.
And as they get older, they're away from home, they're married, then they're under another authority. But as their children, you're the commanders in chief. And it's about time we learn this in Christianity. Because you know what? They're going to face a war that they're going to lose in if you're not a good commander-in-chief. I'm just telling you. I'm not being mean. This is just the way it is. You know? You know what? If you train them and you did it right, and they get older, they can decide what they want to do. But when they're in it, it's one thing, as I said, this in my household, it's going to go a certain way. Why? Because when you leave, if you want to do something else, go after it. That's yours. That's not yours. You're after it. But here, we train you so you leave and get in trouble. You can say, yes, I said, I didn't know. The reason I'm in the mess, I wasn't taught nothing. So you need to understand this. This is why you do it. Number one, if you don't, you will hear it from Jesus when you get to heaven.
That's right.
You will. We're gonna be judged on all we did in the flesh.
Amen.
Good or bad. Good thing to repent about that now. Say, God, I done messed that one up. See, what you do, you want to train them right. Tell them. This is what we do.
Amen.
You know, my daughter, listen, when she went off to college and when she came back home, she said about coming back home and thinking college. But one thing she talked about is she said, Dad, can I come home? You know, she had trouble there and going on. And I said, yeah. But I said, you come and live in my house. You go to church. You do whatever. This is what we do here. If you don't want to do that, you go someplace else.
Amen.
See, I love my child. I wasn't one of the, yeah, we'll take you in and do what you want. We love you. No, you don't.
Come on. Preach. Say that again.
No, you don't.
Amen.
See, I'm sorry. We got a training camp here. We got boot camp.
Amen. Amen.
Because, see, when we went to college, you didn't follow what you were trained. Now, you need to go through basic again. I don't care what age you are. There's loads of Christians, 50, 60 years old, need to go to boot camp.
Come on, preach.
Amen. They need to be in boot camp.
Preach.
But now, you can't get their flesh to do that. Oh, they want all the blessing of being a soldier.
Come on.
But they ain't going to get it. It'll never happen. No. You go through the training and you go through them. You know how to walk in the blessing. You know how to get to do the things. You learn that. That's the way it is. That's why. Do you ever notice the armies, they do this all the time? They don't turn around and go in and do all this training and then we'd always go back and do training again. We all go back and go do it again. We go back. Think about here and practice war. You know? Why? Because when you get into, you don't learn about that one time and you just, go out. This is what Christians do. They learn something in the Bible, never listen to it again, never look at it again, never pay it no attention, and they get out and they get in trouble. It's always run to somebody else who has taken the time to do it. Pray, get your hand on my empty head and pray for me.
Come on.
See, no. We train all the time. All the time. Amen. We're staying in. All the time we keep ourselves refreshed. Because you know what? The devil ain't lazy. Oh my God. Those demons, they'll always come knocking on your door. They're always looking for a way in. They're always looking for something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the Word of God will work. It'll put you through.
Hallelujah.
But I like the fact, when the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? In other words, should I hide this? See, because of this covenant, God makes this statement. Should I hide from Abraham? Why? Because this guy is going to, he's going to raise up his kid, right? He's going to get the fulfillment of this covenant. He's going to do this. So, to hide. In other words, we need to understand, when we look at Peter and Jesus making a statement to him, he said, whatever you bind on earth, you'll be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose. We need to understand the authority concerning man is in the earth. God is dealing with here. This guy's going to be a great nation. Am I going to do something out here and not tell him? Well, what was the answer to it? Sure, I'm going to tell him. I just want to say, see, I learned this, that principle. Because I found this out, really sort of stumbling into it. I noticed this when I started off as a Christian, that anything that affected me and had to do with mine, God would always tell me about what's coming ahead as something that was going to affect me. Then I learned from this. It's just like in 2000, when the Lord never spoke to me at all about what was going to happen, and we had 500 million false prophets all going on all over the world. Oh, yeah, everything's coming to an end. Blah, 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 blah. And God never spoke to me about it. I had a guy ask me, what do you think is going to happen? I said, nothing. He said, why? Because I said, God didn't talk to me. So I said, it ain't going to affect me. I know that. Because I said, anything that affects me, he always talks to me about it. Now, one of the reasons, too, let me tell you, this will help you. You get saying the right things. I'm not talking about believing the right. You can believe the right things and never work for you. You say them. Amen. Whatever you believe, you get it on your mouth. See, I'd get it on my mouth. God will always tell me about things that affect me.
Amen.
So he does. Why? Comes to pass. I have what to say.
Amen.
You want to have what you say. You say the right things. You speak. You believe them and then put them on your voice and say, this is what God will do for me. This is what he's going to do for me. And you know what? God keeps his word.
Amen.
He'll always keep his word. If he didn't, what would be the point of all this? It would be pointless to do this. This is why God will show me, just like with Abraham, this is my guy in the earth. Are you his guy in the earth, man, woman?
Amen.
Are you his in the earth?
Amen.
Well, will he hold from you?
No.
I don't need to find out next year and buy the next guy's book and prophesy what's going to happen the next year. I'm going to tell you what, if you haven't been walking with God for the year before, don't be surprised nothing good happens to you next year.
Come on, preach.
You've listened to, and the prophecy could be true, but it ain't for you.
Come on.
I'm serious. Prophecies can be true, but they're not for you. There's requirements. He says here, this guy's going to follow in the way and he's going to raise up his kids, so he's going to... I guess I better, we better talk to him about this. We don't do nothing here without talking to him. Why? Because he has some authority here. He's living here. Do you know, folks? You're living here.
Amen.
See, it's hard for... When we have been told so much of this thing, God's in control, we have lost so much of understanding what he's really like and how he is toward us. We've lost it. It's significant what man here in this earth, his kids here in this earth. And see, we need to get over. This is why it's getting to know him. Know what he's like. His quality of character. He's phenomenal. He takes his man Abraham and says, this guy down here, this guy I've been dealing with down here, he's going to have some say about this. He's going to have to hear this. He's going to talk about what we're going to do. This is what he is. So God wants to speak to this man. Now let's, if we look at this down here and go on to this, it goes on to verse 20 and it says, and the Lord said, now this is what the Lord, this is what Jehovah, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and because their sin is very grave. Actually, I like the Bible in basic English says their sin is very evil. Now I want you to tell you this. We need to do here in America. The church don't realize the evil.
Amen.
If God was looking from that place and looking down the evil, America's got a bunch of evil.
Amen.
Really bad evil.
Amen.
And if God would look at Sodom and Gomorrah, in fact, this is before Jesus died. Jesus turned around and made mentioned of three different cities that he had been to and ministered, and they didn't respond to him, and he said that Sodom and Gomorrah will not be judged as hard in the last day as they will. What about America? I'm going to tell you, America will be judged harder than Sodom and Gomorrah. See, there needs to be an awakening in the church of this. This thing of all this perversion, homosexuality and everything, it's all right. I mean, America having a pride month. We're so proud to be perverts. Now, I don't care who hears it. I'm putting it online. I don't care. I am not a coward Christian.
Amen.
Well, I'll get in trouble if I'll say something. Praise God, I'm going to be Mr. Trouble.
Amen. Amen.
This is grave evil.
Amen. Preach.
We're talking about the destiny of a nation. And the church is full of the sin.
Come on. Say that again.
And so we need to see it. This is Jehovah saying this. Do you think he changes what he talks today? Because we, in America, you know, is today, you know. Now there's grace. So evil's not bad anymore. That's Jehovah talking. You know? I mean, you get these sports teams demanding people to wear stuff. And then if they don't, I'm going to tell you what. We ought to slam the door on all this sports stuff.
Amen.
And you're three strikes, you're out.
Amen.
Giving them these sweet deals and that stuff. And they make billions of dollars not having to pay taxes and doing stuff. And we're doing that with these perverts. We're building for these perverted owners. We're building stadiums, taxpayers' money and everything else. What are we doing? So they can advertise perversion. I don't hate anybody's homosexual. People, God allow them to do what they want, but I just won't tell them. They're in big trouble.
Come on. Preach.
They're in big trouble with God. Whether people like it or not. I got to preach it because if we don't preach it, if we're scared to say that it's evil and that it's sin, there's nobody going to return from it. Because God can't convict anybody with Christians with their mouth sealed shut.
Come on, preach. Preach. People need to stand up.
Well, I can't say nothing because if I did, you know, I'd get fired. Well, too bad. I'm going to tell you what. Let's get to the firing.
Woo! Hallelujah.
No, money talks in America. It's all about money. I can't afford to lose my money because my money is more important than following God. Oh, but we believe God is so big and He'll help me. Yeah. Okay. Glory to God. He said, he goes on here. This is Jehovah talking. I will go down now and see whether they have done all together according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I'll know. It says, then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. He's standing before Jehovah. He's there still standing with Jehovah. Now, we go down through here, and I want you to see this. Abraham comes along. Now, what if God talks to him, and there's some things here that we need to see about this, because there's good revelation that we see here with the church, which you need to see about yourself in situations where, you know, right now in your nation. See, this is a lot of Christians even worry about things. And this is one of the things I want to talk about, because I'll tell you, one of the major things where demonic powers work in people's lives is to get into worry and open the door. And I'm going to tell you, you could end up in enormous problems. Death, crazy, all kinds of stuff. Because get over to worry and demonic powers get in and it'll kill you. And we need to understand this. Well, Abraham comes along here, and it says here in verse 23, and Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Then he says, suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare if the 50 righteous that were in it? Now listen to what he says, far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you, shall not the Lord, the judge of all the earth, do right? Now I want you to see this principle. Now we've got to understand, he said if there's 50 righteous here, everybody just focuses mostly on that. You need to, that's what he said. He said you need it, and this is the truth. God will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. God does not destroy the righteous with the wicked. God does not destroy the righteous with the... Now, the devil will kill as many as he can. God will not, in his judgment, ever destroy the righteous with the wicked. You have to understand that. See, we can get in fear of things going on or things happening in our nation or where people concerned and worried about these things. God don't destroy the righteous. If judgment comes, God is not in the business destroying the righteous. That's what he doesn't do. He doesn't destroy the righteous with the wicked, because we find out the end of this, you know, that he turns around and he spares the righteous. Because listen to how God is listening to what Abraham is saying. Listen to this. He says, now he said there's 50. He shall judge all the earth through right. So it says the Lord said, if I find in Sodom and 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for that sake. If I get down there and find 50. Now I want you to see this. This goes on into a countdown. Why does it go to a countdown? Because Abraham knows they ain't going to find that many people there. He knows it. He knows it. Do you think God knows how many is there? Now, we find out the story. Only 4 people get taken out, and one of them rebels against what they were told to do. You see, we need to understand what's going on here. You're going to destroy the righteous with the wicked. You're going to destroy. Yeah, I'll save the place. It says, then Abraham answered and said, indeed, now I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. I'm talking to you. And he says this, suppose there were 5 less than the 50 righteous. Would you destroy all the city? So he's asking a question. He said, if I find there are 45, I will not destroy it. So now, understand, Abraham is not making any demand here on this. He's asking and really sort of throwing himself, this is sort of like the mercy of God. Would you do this? So he's not making a demand. Because why? He ain't in a place of faith. He doesn't know. He's learning about, this is what he's learning about God. You know, you got to learn some things about God. You know, sometimes I find people do this. They're sort of demanding on God of things, but they don't know Him very well. It would be good if they didn't do that. See, Abraham's sort of, he's learning here what God is like. Abraham knows this. It doesn't make any sense to kill the righteous with the wicked. That don't make no sense. Now, you can't tell that. There are ministers who wrote books years ago how God was going to destroy all the Christians in America with America because, you know, they wrote books about this. Because they sure didn't read this about, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah. They didn't pay no attention down here on this. They're going to kill all the Christians down here and that stuff that, you know, in American judgment. And no, he's not. This is one of the things you need to learn to walk by faith. and walk right. Mm-hmm. Because there's a great protection to do so.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
There's great protection to do so. Well, it said he went and spoke to him yet again and said, suppose there should be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for the sake of the 40. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry. In other words, he found out he got down this far. Let's go more. Why is he doing this? Now understand, Abraham knows who lives there. And he knows somebody who's in trouble there. Because we're going to find out, as we teach this, we're going to win this week. Lot's was in big trouble. The Bible says he was righteous, but he ain't living it at all. He's right. You can be a Christian and righteous by faith and not live it at all. It's amazing. God will even save us idiots. If we don't walk right, he's still saved because we're his kid. It's amazing, isn't it? It's phenomenal. So he gets down here. He cuts her down again. He said, for 40's sake. Then he said, he goes again down here. God said he would do it. Then he says, don't let the Lord be angry. He said, I'll speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. So he said, I'll do it if I find 30 there. And he said, indeed now, I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there. So he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. But once more, suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake, the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham. And Abraham returned to his place. Now he said 10. I'm sure Abraham thought, well, you know, he figured He had at least 4 down there, and Lot's one daughter is going to marry a guy from there, an unrighteous guy. But I'm sure he's thinking, there got to be 2 people who fear and honor God there. Well, it turns out they don't. They're not. Now, one thing, see, the Lord brought up to me is this fact. Do you think the Lord knew with Abraham how far he was going to go? Do you think he knew? He knew how far he would go. And God put a question to me. And I thought, he said this to me. He said, now, well, see, I've heard many people teach us. And I've heard even Kenneth Hagin say this. Well, you know, Abraham should have gone further. He should have went. Would that have been a good idea? Now, I want you to say this. God, if God listened to him, what would the outcome do if that evil was allowed to continue to go on? Let me ask you. I want you to tell you, because this is what something the Lord told me. He said, I've done many times what my people want, but in the long run, it's cost them greatly. Here's a revelation you and I can get, is this. Don't always just run off with God about what you want to find out what's best. Sometimes you need to find out what's best to do. See, many people just use their faith. They're like the gunslinger. As soon as I want something, I just pull the gun and shoot it. This is what I want. And they don't take time because, see, we don't see things ahead. And see, the Holy Spirit's there. We need to ask God about things. Mm-hmm. See, we need to come. Sometimes we need to stop. Is this going to be the best thing? Would it have been the best thing if they let Sodom and Gomorrah go? Understand, Abraham's living in that land. What happens if this don't get judged? What happens to his offspring when they eventually come back there and that seed of that sin has dominated and ruled through them? What's it going to be? You see, I find God thinks different than we do about stuff.
Amen.
He sees far beyond the future of us. He understands far beyond. We need to take. He wasn't being critical about this. He said the church Christians need to take more time before they ask for certain things for people to find out if that's the best. It would be the best for them.
Amen. Amen.
We many times make decisions what we think is the best for us, and we put it over to other people.
Come on.
If this happened this way, it'd make me feel better. Mm. What about what's going to happen to them?
Amen.
What's going to happen to them? No, we're not interested. It's only interesting if I want to be feeling good right now. You know, if they all rot and go to hell later, if I'm gone, well, then it's okay. You know, we're going to be like Hezekiah was. Well, you know what? Yeah, Babylon's going to take over, but it's going to be peace while I'm here. The ones after me, tough. I don't want to be that guy.
Amen.
I want to be that guy. And so, the Lord brought that. I want you to think about this. Well, see, these things the Lord brought to me. What about Moses? Moses comes off the mountain. Comes down. He goes up the... These people, they saw... They see this mountain. They see God, fire comes down on this mountain and all that. Moses gets called up. He's up there 40 days and 40 nights. Let's just think of this. He's up there 40 days and 40 nights. God shows up. All this deliverance out of Egypt, and immediately those people are building idols and worshiping other gods. I mean, 40 days, you can't even... Well, number one, they started before the 40 days to get the idol made and everything else going, to get down there rocking and rolling and what they were doing. So, they're down there. They probably, you know, they probably made it 2 weeks. Tore it up, you know. And he comes down. And God says, get back and let me kill this bunch, and I'll make a great nation out of you. And there, you know, and there's one thing. See, now, I want to tell you, I don't know. The Lord just got me thinking about this, made mention to me, and I just thought about it. He said, do you think he'd have been smart to take me up on that? I want to ask you this. If Abraham was, I mean, if Moses would have said, yeah, you think God said, I'm kidding, I wasn't going to really do that? If he did, he's a liar. This was a real choice. Now, he made the choice to save him, and these same people he saved are the reason he couldn't go into the land. We need to think about, see, people make statements, and they do, and I realize why they make, but I'll tell you what, God got me thinking dealing with this. You know, it's like, wait, we make these decisions, we better get thinking a little bit. God called me to go in that land, and I said, no, I'll keep this bunch. And God got them over there and said, you can't keep this rotten bunch. They're going to go out here and die. Well, I mean, hey, you know, I just get us thinking a little bit. I believe this. We know less about God than we'd like to think we do.
Amen.
We don't understand. I think, you know, Moses did lots of times of things that I would have done. You know, you skip this and you let's get a decision. We got to get this thing changed. And we don't have the patience to stop and say, hold it. God's given me a choice here. Which one is really the best to take? Mm-hmm. I see people do this all the time with a person. It'd be best if they were left to go home with the Lord. And I'm talking about people in sin and trouble, getting in trouble and stuff. Let them go home and be with Jesus. You know, no, we want to keep them here so they can sin some more. We want to keep them here so get things here. We do these kinds of things. We don't look at the outward. We look mostly at us, what makes us feel good. We'll stop and say, hey, hold it, Lord. What is the best? What is really the best? You know, I'm thinking of Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin had his one brother, 19 years old. He got baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. He went on for 35 years, didn't walk with God. He got there, didn't for 35 years. Now, Kenneth Hagin, he'll get over and pray because his brother ended up coming down with terminal. I think it was colon cancer or something. Come down. It was terminal. And he was praying about his brother's healing. And the Lord, you know, he went on and on with the Lord. And the Lord said, no. He said, he's coming home. He said, I've waited on him for 35 years. And he said, he hasn't changed. He said, he needs to just die and come home. He said, he repented now. He said, he ain't getting healed. He said, he needs to go. See, do you talk to the Lord long enough to find out? He needs to go. See, this is where people turn around and pray 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 and pray. And what they're doing, they're pushing against something God ain't even... They can't even tell in their own spirit that God's not hooking up with them. Mm-hmm. See, I've learned that over time, of praying about things. You need to understand something. Sometimes a person's better off being with Jesus, and you need to want them to be with Jesus more than you, because if they hang around you, they may not one day ever get to be with Jesus.
Amen.
Because they'll get out there and sin so deep.
Come on.
But we're so interested. We don't ask God... God, what's your opinion on this? What do you think about this? Mm-hmm. You can see what I can't see. See, there's a revelation we have. This covenant is a huge thing. And we need to understand the great power that He's given us over here. We pulled the trigger too many times we shouldn't have. We haven't come, you know, the scripture said, let us plead together to come and say, hey, hold it. What about this individual? What's going on here with them? What's the situation here? What's the best? I know. I prayed about things with people, and finally, you know, I used this thing, you know, a person, and for a year I spent praying for an individual. Finally, you know, the Lord, I realized I was praying. God was never hooking up with me. You got to learn to understand that. I could tell. And the inside, I'm praying in tongues, and you know what? It's just me. And I said, Lord, what about this person? And he said, it ain't doing any good to pray for them. They know what to do and won't do it. Mm-hmm. What if I'd asked before when he wasn't hooking up with me a long time before? I've had more than one situation arise where those kind of things with people. So I've learned a little bit over time to try to get God involved in my prayers, then I'm just a one-sided prayer. It's like, because you need to understand this too, the authority you have. There's things God will do because you've asked. You're like the children of Israel. They wanted a king. Now, God told Samuel, you know, he didn't want to have a king. They wanted a king. But he didn't tell them that. He just told them, if they want a king, let them have it. You go tell them this. If they get a king, this is what's going to happen to them. They asked. Did they get it? Yeah, God said, give them what you want. God said, I'll pick the guy for you. Yeah, I'm going to pick the guy for you. This will be the one. You're going to love this. Do you know what? See, there's a difference between David and Saul. And it wasn't Saul had every opportunity to turn out to be a David. And he decided not to. God didn't pick a bad guy. God picked a good guy. But he made a decision. He decided to walk in places without God. He decided to be disobedient. He decided those things. You know what? God, if you read the scriptures, it tells you that Saul was supposed to have the same outcome as David was, that he was going to have his offspring would sit on the throne forever. He had the same promise. He didn't walk in the light of it. See, we deal with these things with authority. This is why it's one of the things that I really realize in this. And this is not being critical to anybody. It's to awaken us. Man, we got authority, folks. What you and I have. What about on this side in our covenant? It's amazing. Hallelujah. If God dealing over on this side, we get these pictures of this over here. We get a man and he's searching out God to find out. We ought to do a little bit more of searching out with God to find out what he's like. We ought to get more around questioning. See, I'm a questioner. I go to God all the time and ask him questions. See, most people go ask for things. I ask for 1,000 times more questions about things than I ever ask for stuff. Because what? I found this out. If I ask questions, he'll take me to the Word. If you're just asking for stuff, he probably won't. See, I have questions. Why things work? Why they don't work? What about this? What about that? Because we're dealing with and really the word of his genius isn't even a good word for him. How do we figure on a being who is our Father? I mean, he knows the end of it. From the day that I stepped into this earth, he knew everything that I was going to do, say, or to hold through this thing. It's hard to put your head around that.
That's right.
But we don't treat him like that. We treat him, he's just like we are. What I found out of this, and I'm finding out more and more about it, I need his understanding.
Amen.
I need to have his. It isn't enough to know things about him. I want to think like he thinks.
Amen.
This is the renewing of the mind.
Yeah.
See, most people, all their minds renew with just information. I want to get it renewed to him.
Amen.
I want to think like he thinks. I want to get this in here. You know, he's not against you asking questions. He wants to. We see that picture with Abraham. Abraham's going to see how far this goes. He's learning about him. See, I was taught as a kid in church, you know, you ask questions, God might shoot you. You know, I just heard a minister you know, say this, a good minister, I know, good man. But he said, you know, don't question God. I thought, well, how are you going to ever learn anything? All I ever know is asking questions. If I don't understand it, I'd like to understand. And if I'm not supposed to understand, I want to know why he put it in a book I was supposed to. We're going to ask that question. The mysteries. And I'll tell you what, he's a great mystery. I'll tell you, I've heard a lot of things about God, but the more I see, he's a great mystery. Oh, God, full of wisdom and understanding. My. It's like I'm just looking with Abraham here in this study of Abraham, and he's just put a lot of questioning in me. Things now I want to know. Things I want to see about. I want to understand. And that's what he wants you to do. He wants you to come. You're a person. It's understanding. This is why, you know, you go to the Word. This is why you study. This is why you look. Because he wants you to know him, not know about him. Amen. The Bible's not a history book. It is to most Christians. It's not a history book. It's about God's life and how he thinks. What can be revealed to this? His revelation. How he gives all the revelation he does out of this compact thing is beyond me. You take all the books that have been written by revelation of men. Good books written by revelation. How many books are out there? Over the centuries, if you got them all and stacked them together, what would it be? And it comes from this thing here. That's amazing. Folks, this is supernatural. It's miraculous that this would happen.
Amen.
It's for us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, what we ever do on this earth as fathers and mothers, whatever we want to be or whatever we want to walk in, I'm going to tell you, follow the book. We got to move away from culture. Culture will diminish revelation. Because culture, hey, it doesn't, even culture that's not bad can move you from revelation because you'll get in a certain way of thinking that you can't see over here to God's area. See, I want to know beyond just what I was raised or what I want to know. I want to go beyond that. I want to see further. And see, I don't want to get to heaven and be one in prayer. I don't want to be that guy, you know, Jesse says, he gets there, oh my God, I made it. I made it. No, I want to get there and say, you know, I belong here. I can think like this. This is my place. This is what I've been longing for, and this is what I've been waiting for. This is it. When Jesus shows up, oh my God, I'm not here. Woo, get over here. See, God wants you to go home feeling at home. It's not a foreign place you're going to. That's why he's turning the light on in things. We're at the end of the age. You know, it's like they talked, Charles Capp talked about the blind, you know, opening for the... I'm going to tell you, he's trying to open the blind. Some people are letting him open it in their life and others ain't. Others are going to just walk in the religion that they've always had. Oh, they're Christian. They're going to be with Jesus. But I want to tell you, he's opening the blind. The light is shining through. Amen. It's to know him in his glory. You know, we're singing that song about, it says redemption story. No, he came to give redemption's glory. It ain't a story, it's the glory. That's what it is. It's the glory. And this is what happens. That blind gets open more and more, the glory comes in. It's the light of the glory of God. And it shines on you. Hallelujah. And we don't have to have a veil on it. Woo-hoo! My God, we can look face to face. That's the church. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God wants to do marvelous things for you. Hallelujah. Marvelous things in you. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, I mean, these are the days of filling. These are the days of revelation. These are the days of understanding. These are the days of comprehension. It's to know him. Hallelujah. To know him like he knows you. Hallelujah. Oh, that you actually see... If God is just this religious being, then fellowship gets hard to have. Because look at Abraham. Abraham is testing really a fellowship. He's learning. This God that wants to be so close to Him, but He doesn't know Him as well. God likes this guy. You know, God, really, God wants to be real close to Him. He's trying to find out how close He can get. That's what we are. I found out this. Oh, He wants to be close to us. Oh my God, He longs. He moved in. He wants to be close. We're learning how to get close to Him. How we feel comfortable in His presence.
Amen.
We feel comfortable talking, asking Him questions. He's not going to slap you over the head. Say, I might ask a dumb question. You've already asked probably 40 of them, you know, just this week. Now, it doesn't. He's not nervous. That's not the way He is. You know what? In His sight, I don't care. We're children. We're just little children. I don't care how far we've gone. We, compared to Him, you know, I don't end up be like the devil, think I'm smart. Mm-hmm. No, He's still God and I'm not. Hallelujah. But He's my Father.
Amen.
And He's your Father and He loves you dearly. And He wants to fellowship with you, not to just talk to you. He wants to fellowship. See, today, families will get together and it's about fellowshipping around something. It's, you know, you don't fellowship with people you used to have information about. You can't fellowship around that. You might have a discussion, but that's not fellowship. See, like people who are married together and they're years, you're supposed to have fellowship. You have talk, you know, and you can be around them, but you can't be around other people. You can just be you because they know how dumb you are. See, Wanda knows how dumb I am. See, you know what? And I don't have to get nervous around her. Isn't that wonderful? And you know what? Don't we want to do with the God? God knows our limitations, our fear. He knows all those things. And He still likes you and wants to hang out. It is amazing. But see, I'm learning to be comfortable with Him. I really didn't realize. Going through this thing, I really got some revelation myself as to being more comfortable with Him, to realize how He is. What He is. But really, what He put into our hands is phenomenal. Just, wow. He's amazing. And that's your Father today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we just want to thank You. Thank You for just taking the time with us. Always, Lord God. Revealing Yourself to us. We come hungering and thirsting. And my God, You always got a cool drink for us. Hallelujah. You always got good bread to eat. Hallelujah. Oh, and good meat, Lord God, to feed on. Lord God, that strengthens us and builds us up. And Lord God, we do long for a greater and deeper fellowship with You, to walk in places we have not been with You, to know You in ways that we haven't known You, Lord God. We want to have a great comfort to being around You, but yet at the same time, to honor You, as Abraham did, is to bow before You. You're God. To humble ourselves before You. You're God. You're incredible. Hallelujah. And I'm just glad You lord over me. And I want You to lord over me. I want You to rule over me. Hallelujah. I need a ruler. And I need someone that I can trust. And You're the one. And we thank You for it, Lord God. So we go out of here today. I thank You, Lord God. We celebrate our earthly Father's Days. And thank You, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank You for earthly fathers. I thank You for a father who walked before You the best he understood, knew how. And I'm so grateful for the fact, hallelujah, that one thing as he did, he did love You with all his heart. Hallelujah. He was a man that could have done whatever they wanted to him, but he would have never denounced You, Lord God. And I just thank You to have the privilege to have somebody like that in my life. And so, Father God, we go out today, we go out with great rejoicing. Hallelujah. Lord God, that You reveal Yourself in a wonderful way to us. Hallelujah. That as we go out, we can rejoice. What a Father we have. And we thank You for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.